Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's July 7th, 2014. Our top story tonight is something that broke at the end of the week. And, of course, we received a letter from the military to Kit Daniels threatening him with arrest. Here's the story. Feds threatened journalists with prison over report on illegal immigration. Now, in this letter, they say you entered Joint Base San Antonio-Lackland Air Force Base in Texas. Actually, he didn't enter. These photos were taken outside the shelter and are clearly in the public's interest, as Kit Daniels points out in his article. And he also comments and says, it would appear that Department of Defense officials are somehow more threatened by journalists reporting on illegal immigration than they are with illegal aliens using military accommodations at taxpayer expense while homeless vets wander the streets. And he also points out again that these illegal aliens are being housed at about $250 per day per immigrant. So it's something the federal government should not be hiding from the American public. Is this in the best interest of the American public? Should we know what the conditions are for these unaccompanied minors that we see coming in there? Well, of course, the answer from the federal government is none of your business. And that's not just to journalists. It's also to congressmen. Remember last week we reported a Breitbart story of a congressman, Bridenstine, from Oklahoma, who tried to get information about human trafficking at one of these sites in Oklahoma. And he was essentially told, shut up and go away, the same as we are as journalists. Now, this particular congressman said that he was concerned. He said they don't want you to see the human suffering that has gone on because the law has been broken. Do you understand that? This suffering is happening because the federal government is standing down at the borders and breaking the law. He goes on to say, $2 billion is not for border security. The crisis that is ensuing is a direct result of failed federal policy. The policies are not deterring human trafficking. They are causing human trafficking. And I would say they are not failed federal policies. They are deliberate federal policies. He understands that we need to drop that language that there's something broken, that mistakes were made. No, this is deliberate. He goes on to say, the prevailing wisdom in Central America is, if you come across the border with a child, you're far more likely to gain entry than if you don't. And unfortunately, as the congressman points out, one-third of the children that come from Central America try to cross the border are abused and raped. As he points out, crime is very bad in Central America, but nothing has changed lately. And we've been told that also by Border Patrol Union spokespersons. What has changed is our policy. And we have incentivized that. We're going to talk about that more. But look at what else is happening. It's not only that journalists are being told to shut up, that congressmen are being told to shut up. You can't see what's going on here. Now we have citizens being told, don't show up, don't protest what's going on here. And, of course, where's that coming from? But the free speech bastion of Dallas, the same place that they shut down George Bush Library protesters, the same place where they shut down Alex Jones and InfoWars reporters who were complaining that free speech was being shut down about the 50th anniversary of the JFK assassination. And, of course, Dallas has reacted with more stringent legislation, putting 75-foot set-offs from any roads. And, of course, that did not come into play at either of those two previous protests, either the Bush Library or the JFK protest. Now they've got a judge who is saying to citizens and going door to door, threatening them that they aren't going to have free speech. Listen to this clip.
As long as they make their statement in keeping with the law, this is America, everybody's entitled to an opinion. But if they break the law or impede the care of these children, then we'll enforce the law.
Now understand what is happening here. This is a judge in a place where they have a history of suppressing free speech, essentially exercising prior constraint and intimidation. He says, as long as they make their statement in keeping with the law. Well, the First Amendment says you have a right to petition the government and to redress your grievances, and that the Congress and no one else is going to make any law to stop that. That's your natural right to do that. But, of course, they're trying to intimidate people. And he's putting this out as if these protesters that may show up are going to somehow endanger the children. There's also a clip on there from the mayor pro tem who says, we will protect the citizens. Again, another threat. I don't think he's really talking about protecting the citizens. He's talking about protecting the illegal immigrants that they're going to be bringing into this facility. There's also another clip from a local individual there that says, you're a grown-up, don't protest a kid. You get the idea? the media there is working with law enforcement, and they've got a particular agenda. And they're not talking to anybody on the other side to see what their concerns are. This is something that we've seen go on and on. This is what's happening in California. This article from InfoWars. Feds plan riot cops to push through illegals in California. They are now calling up ICE riot cops because we have people in Murrieta, California, who said that they don't want 150 people brought in every 72 hours. They're concerned about that. So they protested over the weekend. They actually turned back the ICE trucks, the vehicles. And so now they have responded with more force. Breitbart quoted a resident who said, "Officers warned people that federal agents will be in Murrieta on Monday. Riot gear and shields will be used to push the crowd back." And they also say they're apparently going to be blocking off the street with concrete barricades so that no vehicles can get through. And the River County Sheriff's Department showed up last night and brought huge watchtower that shoots up into the air 35 feet. Now, both in Dallas and in California, they're making it sound as if the people who are the ones who are causing all the trouble and who are dangerous are the ones who are protesting what the federal government is doing. And yet, what we find, if we look closer, from an article by Paul Joseph Watson, he said protesters arrested at the Murrieta border station this last weekend were pro-illegal immigration agitators. He said five people were arrested on Friday as pro-amnesty demonstrators faced off with anti-illegal immigration activists. However, both the media and law enforcement, just as we see in Dallas, refused to disclose which side the protesters represented, giving the false impression that in many of the outlets that it was anti-amnesty demonstrators that had caused the trouble. However, as you can see from the video that he embeds in the article, the trouble was caused by pro-illegal demonstrators who assaulted police officers, labeling themselves as anarcho-communists. This is something that concerns all of us, and we should all be concerned regardless of which way you look at this, because as the left looks at this and sees a solution with the welfare state, the right is looking at this and seeing a solution with the warfare state. Let's step up the police state. Let's send people to the border. This is something that's been going on for a long time. They've been telegraphing what they're going to do. Look at this article from back in 2009 from InfoWars. Internment camps readied for mass illegal alien influx? How are they going to roll out martial law? Will it be a suitcase nuke or will it be a population bomb? Will it be a pandemic? Will it be all of the above? Well, as the article points out, they had a strategic plan from Homeland Security named Operation Endgame. You ever heard that before? I think somebody did a documentary about that. Alex Jones did one about Endgame. Now, the New York Times reported this at the time, saying an unexpected influx of immigrants to house people in the event of a natural disaster or for new programs that require additional detention space was what these FEMA camps were all about. And, of course, we had an article just a week or so ago from Adan Salazar and Leanne McAdoo saying, did FEMA anticipate this immigration crisis? And they point out that this goes all the way back to Rex 84, Oliver North, you remember that. Also, Operation Garden Plot. Several plans that have been put in place by the government going all the way back to the 60s and the 70s to deal with indicators of potential violence. And here are some of the examples that they gave. High unemployment rate among minority groups or increased crime rates among minority groups. Migrations of large numbers of minority groups or protests by minority groups in such conditions. Now we have a top general in today's story saying that the Mexico border security situation is an existential threat, a threat to the existence of the United States. See, the left always wants to increase the size of the state using the welfare state, and the right always wants to increase it with a warfare state. Are they going to turn America into a prison? Martial law at the border? Massive fence at the border? I don't think that's the way we need to approach this. But this is what the general says. A top U.S. general in charge of protecting the southern border says he's been unable to combat the steady flow of illegal drugs, weapons, and people from Central America, and so he's asking Congress for urgent help. And he says, in comparison to other global threats, the near collapse of societies in the hemisphere with the associated drug and undocumented immigrant flow are frequently viewed to be of low importance. But many would argue these threats are not existential and do not challenge our national security. I disagree. Where did the drug war come from? The drug war originated in this country. It's a plague that we have inflicted upon Central and South America and the entire world. Look at what happened in Afghanistan. We go there, the supply of heroin goes from 10% to 90%. Look at what happened, what was exposed with Gary Webb. what was going on at the same time that Oliver North is creating Rex 84 and talking about a massive influx of immigrants into this country that they couldn't control. These guys were running the cocaine trade. They started crack cocaine in L.A., that epidemic. Did they maybe think that they were going to get this to the point where they could drive people from Central and South America into the United States because of this drug war? That's what we have right now. And of course, this article also points out that it's a Democratic coalition that wants funding and resources for Southcom. So they're going to get involved with this on the warfare side as well. Of course, the Republicans will march in lockstep behind that. They may put up a little bit of token resistance to the welfare state, but certainly not to increasing the military presence. Now, think about how this all started. Think back a few decades ago. Oh, it wasn't the Hispanic people who were coming in at the time. It was Vietnamese. And look at how differently the Democrat politicians reacted at the time. A story from Breitbart puts it in perspective. Governor Jerry Brown in 1975 said, don't dump, quote unquote, dump Vietnamese refugees on California. Oh, so if it's Vietnamese people, it's a different story, isn't it? The new governor of California, this is what was written at the time, Jerry Brown was very concerned about refugees settling in his state. He even attempted to prevent planes carrying refugees from landing at Travis Air Force Base near Sacramento. But the people doing that today are considered to be criminals. Listen to what Joe Biden said at the time. Of course, he wasn't vice president then. He was senator. He said, the White House has not informed Congress adequately about the number of refugees. And George McGovern told Newsweek, I think the Vietnamese are better off in Vietnam. Now, look at today. That was then. This is now. What's going on now? Well, Governor Jerry Brown is approving a measure to allow non-citizens to get driver's licenses in California. And of course, if they got a driver's license, they can register to vote. This is gerrymandering by importation, by immigration. They've selected the voters for a very long time using computers. Now they're going to select the voters by going into countries and bringing people in, telling them that they're going to provide all their needs if only they vote for Democrats. This is pork barrel politics in its primal form. And this is all that's happening. It is not about a humanitarian situation. They have created this situation. They've incentivized it. And it's not just California. Look at what's happening in North Carolina. Critics are lining up against Charlotte's proposed city ID. Now, in this article, they point out that several California cities are already doing this. Oakland, Richmond, San Francisco, also Washington, D.C., New Haven, Connecticut. And, of course, New York City spent $8.5 million in its first year and $5.5 million in subsequent years to give out municipal IDs to help document people. And this is what's going on throughout the country now. It is spreading. It's going on outside of California. But, of course, Homeland Security Chief Jay Johnson says it's not happening. That's the bold-faced lie. The Obama administration, whenever confronted with what's going on, simply lies about it and gets away with it. The DHS chief says he has zero tolerance on illegal immigration, although it might take a while to deport people. Okay, well, that's not even being worked on. He says, our border is not open to illegal immigration, and we're taking a number of steps to address it, including turning people around faster. Well, if it wasn't open to illegal immigration, they wouldn't be turning people around. Of course, they could detain people until they verified whether they were citizens or not and then send them back, but the catch-and-release program incentivizes it. But not so much as the actual policies themselves. Look at the actual DREAM Act. Now, this is 2 years that this has been going on. You know, we used to have another dream. We used to call it the American dream. How did they incentivize the American dream? And, of course, that was, quote unquote, owning your own home with a mortgage. Well, they gave you a home mortgage deduction so that you could own your own home. How did that work out for Americans? How is this going to work out for those who are coming to America now under the DREAM Act? Is this going to be another pump and dump? What are they going to do to stick the knife in their backs? But, of course, bubbles and crises are the way that they create and manipulate everything. This is just another bubble, another crisis, because it allows them to control things. And understand that the DREAM Act, as it was written, was supposed to be for children. That's the way it was sold to us, right? Do you realize that this goes up to people 31 years of age, just under 31, but including people that are 30 years old? Those are considered to be children under the Obama administration. And as people realize that this was not talking about granting amnesty retroactively to people who had been here for some time, but it was proactive, incentivizing people to come in. Think about what's going on here. When we arrest American fathers because they have a child who is a half a mile away from his home, when they arrest him for child endangerment, when we arrest parents for child endangerment because they leave their children in a hot car and because that kills some children, what about reckless endangerment when Obama incentivizes people to send their children, even if they accompany their children across the desert? That is child endangerment, and he is incentivizing that. He is an accessory to that. But, of course, we still have the Republicans who don't want to move about this, who are saying, let's not get too hasty here. One of those is Pat Buchanan. He writes on WND, impeachment, that would be a bridge too far. Yeah, Obama's pretty bad, but he says Republicans should drop talk of impeachment. He said, now, it was different with Bill Clinton. With Bill Clinton, the impeachers had a solid case of perjury, and with Richard Nixon, they had preponderance of evidence that at least for a time he had sought to obstruct justice and investigations of the Watergate break-in. But he says, as of yet, there's no evidence that Obama knew of the IRS plot to delay and deny tax exemptions to Tea Party groups, which would have been an abuse of power and a trampling on the constitutional rights of Tea Partiers who were denied the equal protection of the law. Well, that's not true. That's not true, Pat. Even if it were true, Obama and the Department of Justice are now accessories to the fact of what the IRS did. They have helped to cover that up. They have aided and abetted those cover-ups, as well as Fast and Furious and many other things. They have stonewalled. They have hidden evidence, refused to release evidence to Congress, and that was what they were coming after Nixon about. The breadth and the depth of this IRS scandal is much worse under Obama than it was under Nixon. That's like arguing that Nixon didn't actually do the burglary, so he shouldn't be impeached. That's the kind of argument that Pat Buchanan is making. Unless the Republicans will stand up and do something about it, we're not going to have any kind of change come out of this. And, of course, I don't expect them to. The change is going to have to come from the people. The only hope that we have are people who are going to stand up like they did in Marietta and see if they continue to stand to tell people that they're not going to take the ignoring of our laws anymore. Stay tuned. Right after the break, we're going to have some more information. We're going to cover the NSA's voyeuristic tendencies as well as their new technology to try to read minds. Is that going to come to fruition? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Alex Jones here to break down some exciting developments in the area of research concerning supplemental iodine. It's nothing less than phenomenal. I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. And I used some of the mainline iodine supplements and they upset my stomach and I had some issues with it. Until I discovered a product being developed by Dr. Group, who I was already interviewing as an expert on my radio show, and I began taking the product before he actually rolled it out. You now know it as Survival Shield, true nascent iodine that your body can really absorb. Then, about a year ago, he said, listen, if you think this is powerful, I'm going to come out with rare earth, deep earth crystals that are incredibly powerful that no one else has as a source for their iodine from between 7 and 12,000 feet, literally drilled out of the ground. You put it on a hot plate and it turns into the pure gas. No one else has 99.99% pure iodine. And the results that I personally have had have been life-changing. I was over 270 pounds. And with the iodine, exercise, and better diet, I have lost now more than 50 pounds total, and I'm continuing to lose the weight. I have more energy, my libido, all this crap came out of my skin. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen. This is innovating. This is trailblazing. And the best part is it helps fund InfoWars.com, the radio show, the TV show, the whole media operation promoting true libertarian ideas.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2. Take advantage of this unprecedented 30% off super detox special at InfoWarsLife.com.
I guess we could call this next story from the Washington Post the case of the accidental whistleblower. It turns out that a veteran with the CIA didn't get the memo that the CIA doesn't release any information about anything to the public anymore. This is a case of Jeffrey Scudder. He had a CIA career that included assignments in Africa, Afghanistan, and Iraq. But for 2 years, they put him in an office where he was managing the agency's historical files, and he noticed their stack of articles, hundreds of histories, many of them decades old. He said that he thought that they ought to be released to the public. They were being stored in secret years after they should have been shared with the public. So to get them released, he submitted a FOIA request. CIA did not like that. And so what happened was, after 4 years, he is no longer with the CIA. But listen to what they did in response to his FOIA request. They said in the Washington Post, his request set in motion a harrowing sequence. He was confronted by supervisors, accused of mishandling classified information while assembling his FOIA request. His house was raided by the FBI. His family's computers were seized. He was stripped of his job and his security clearance. And he agreed to retire last year after being told that if he refused, he would risk losing his pension and probably a lot more. And, of course, in retaliation, though, the CIA says this. The CIA does not retaliate or take any personnel action against employees for submitting FOIA requests or for pursuing them in litigation. Yeah, right. They've also shut down the history office. They said, cited budget cuts and said, don't worry, we're going to be doing this somewhere else. We're going to have our declassification work done somewhere else. Well, they don't want you to know anything about them, but as we point out over and over again, they believe that they need to know everything about you. And as we learn more and more about what the paranoid security state wants to know about us and what they collect on us, it gets increasingly creepier. Look at this new article, What Your Startlingly Intimate Voyeuristic NSA File Looks Like. And this is an article from Zero Hedge that is up on InfoWars.com today. And this quotes another Washington Post story where they say that the files that are being kept on Americans have a, quote, startlingly intimate, even voyeuristic quality. They tell stories of love and heartbreak, of illicit sexual liaisons, mental health crises, political and religious conversations, financial anxieties, disappointed hopes, the daily lives of more than 10,000 account holders who are not targeted are cataloged and recorded nevertheless. With that kind of information, you could do a lot of blackmailing, couldn't you? And of course, the people who are most susceptible to being blackmailed are people in political office. People like congressmen. People like Supreme Court justices. And of course, many of us believe that Justice Roberts was in fact blackmailed when he did, in an unprecedented move, wrote both the dissenting and the majority opinions on Obamacare. Many people believe that that would not be passed, as there was no constitutional reason for it to pass. The government cannot constitutionally require you to buy something, and he'd written that in his opinion. Then he suddenly switched it and said, that's okay, it's a tax. I'm good with it now. This has happened before. Look at this article about the secret life of J. Edgar Hoover. This is something that came out of The Guardian as Clint Eastwood's movie about J. Edgar Hoover was about to be released. And they point out a quote here from Harry Truman, who wrote this about J. Edgar Hoover. He said, we want no Gestapo or secret police. The FBI is tending in that direction. This is under Truman. They are dabbling in sex life scandals and plain blackmail. Edgar Hoover would give his right eye to take over, and all congressmen and senators are afraid of him. Is that the situation we have today with the NSA? I believe it is. If it hasn't happened already, all the groundwork has been laid there for political abuses that are much worse than what J. Edgar Hoover did. With technology, they can find out far more about anyone than they ever could during the time of J. Edgar Hoover. And we realize now that for decades, he was blackmailing congressmen, presidents, everyone. And as Truman wrote, he wants to take over. And all congressmen and senators are afraid of him. Do you think maybe they're afraid of the NSA? Well, it's going to get worse, because we see this article from Paul Joseph Watson. Coming soon, the TSA is going to use mind-reading scanners to catch terrorists. Or maybe they will just use it to intimidate the public.
A warrant authorizes the police to read this guy's mind, in this case, his memories. Because you see, in the future, not even our thoughts will be free from search and seizure. Is it the ultimate invasion of privacy? Yes. But it could also clear your good name, or maybe even save your life. Today, scientists are already analyzing the mechanics of thought and creating real-life mind-reading machines.
Now, it bears worth repeating what he just said. Is it the ultimate invasion of privacy? Yes. But it could clear your name or save your life. Or it could endanger you. It could, you know, the way you get your name cleared is with a jury of your peers, not with technology. Remember when Hillary Clinton was laughing about the rapist that she got off, the pedophile rapist that she got off? And she said, he even passed a polygraph. It destroyed forever my faith in polygraphs. Technology cannot be trusted like a jury of your peers. That is due process. And of course, what he's encouraging us to do is to equate in our mind the fact that we can somehow get safety if we give up our privacy and our liberty. No, you will just be more in danger and you will be a slave. Remember, it was Jefferson who said that the God who gave us life gave us liberty at the same time. The hand of force, that is the government, can destroy them both, but cannot disjoin them or separate them. Now, in our final news today, look at what happened on this 4th of July weekend in Chicago, the place where they have the most stringent gun control laws. We had 60 people shot, 11 people killed. This was reported by the local station there, the ABC affiliate. And they said violence in Chicago over the holiday weekend once again garnered national attention. And this is what the police superintendent said. He said it's Groundhog Day in Chicago. And they say that he focused on guns that the alleged offenders had, as well as their criminal past. And he said, it all comes down to guns. Too many guns coming in and too little punishment going out. No, it actually doesn't come down to guns. I've talked many times to Jim Gearock, who is with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. That's LEAP. He was a prosecutor for decades in Chicago. And he said that 80% of these shootings are related, again, to the war on drugs. The same thing that is collapsing the countries in Central and South America, the same thing that will collapse our country and is collapsing our country into an authoritarian, impoverished state where gangs run wild. Here's one example. It's not just the raw numbers of 60 people getting shot. Here's a story of two of those people who were shot. Now, this is reported by the Daily Caller. A veteran with a concealed carry permit shoots back at a Chicago gunman. Now, what happened was they had two groups of people. In one group, there was a woman who asked, whose bottle is this on the car, and asked them to take it. An argument ensued. One of the people in the second group went into a house, came out with his gun, and started shooting, shot her in the back twice. And two other people that were with him in his group started shooting at the group that had just asked, whose bottle is this on my car? At that point, one of the guys in the group that's being shot at was had a concealed carry permit, and he was a veteran, and he pulled out his gun, and he returned fire, critically wounding the guy who went into the house to get his gun, and the other guys ran away. Now, the person who started the shooting has now been charged with attempted murder. He shot this woman twice in the back. And as the article points out, if this had happened last year, the veteran would not have been able to defend himself or the rest of his group from this, probably a gang, when three of them are armed and just start shooting over a Coke bottle or an argument like that. It was probably a gang. I don't know for sure. But he certainly would not have been able to defend himself and others. It is people like a veteran and people who are there to protect themselves. That's one of the most important uses of the Second Amendment. Of course, it's not the most important purpose of the Second Amendment, but it is nevertheless a very important part of the picture. And when they talk about 60 people being shot, we need to keep in perspective what actually happened in each of those cases and who is doing the shooting. As I pointed out, nearly 80% of these are being done by the drug gangs. That was a statistic years ago. It's probably even worse now. Well, that's it for our news tonight. Please consider supporting Prison Planet TV with your subscription. It's something you can pass on to your friends and family, and it's a way to support our operation here. Just one subscription can be shared with up to 11 other people simultaneously. Well, that's it for tonight's news. Join us tomorrow at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. But stay tuned, because right after this program, we have an excerpt from Endgame. Remember I referred to that earlier in the program, that documentary? Well, there was an extra on Endgame, Battle for the Republic. And years ago, Alex Jones broke down what was going on with La Raza. So stay with us right after the show. We'll have that for you.
Sorry. celebrate the spirit of freedom and liberty upon which our nation was founded at InfoWarsShop.com. Molon Lave is ancient Greek for come and take it. This popular design combines both classic Greek Spartan imagery with modern M16 assault rifles. Now available in women's tees and proudly made in the USA. And now you can protect yourself from corrupt cops with the InfoWars dash cam. It's your car's black box that records all that the driver sees and hears. And introducing the Block It Pocket. It renders your phone undetectable while protecting your private data and your health. Or take back your privacy and protect your personal information by getting your very own detractor cell phone pouch. So get incredibly high quality freedom-based products and help fund the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
Estelin then told us about the Bilderberg Group's concern that the American people are awakening to their attempt to use the third world populations as a battering ram to accelerate North American integration and the end of the United States.
One of the things that happened last year, there was a lot of talk about the Patriot Movement in America. They're very worried about the Patriot Movement in America in 2005. That's one of the subjects they were discussing. We saw last year how a very small but very determined population base could put an end, literally stop dead in their tracks, all the illegal immigrants coming through. They did not make the Bilderbergs very, very happy.
America is being sacrificed on the altar of globalism. The United States must fall before the New World Order can rise.
This used to be Mexico, you know what I mean? And the people that were here before, they're just not gonna get up and leave.
Mexico! 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 Arriba Mexico! Viva!
Viva! The globalists are using a divide-and-conquer strategy to balkanize the United States.
You know, they cause all this exploitation across the globe, and they wonder why people come to America. You know?
So is your argument that NAFTA and CAFTA are designed to increase illegal immigration?
It's not designed... Well, you know what? You might have a point there.
While the controlled corporate media teaches Americans that pro-U.S. nationalism is backwards and xenophobic, the very same media is busy teaching Mexicans that ultra-extreme race-based nationalism is good and part of their culture. The federal government, tax-free foundations, and the Fortune 500 have pumped more than $800 billion into a long-term strategic plan to export Latin American revolution into the United States. The elite are rolling out the red carpet to the third world because the United States must be divided before it can be absorbed into the North American Union, itself to form the first piece of the Pan-American Union. The New World Order social engineering has done a masterful job at exploiting historical divisions between the U.S. and Mexico. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Spanish-speaking media drills it into their audiences' heads that the Southwest, from California to Texas, once belonged to Mexico, and that the United States stole it in 1848 with the signing of the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo. Every child in Mexico is taught from birth and officially in school that the United States is the arch enemy of Mexico and that it is their job to travel to the United States to take part in a reconquering or la reconquista of the United States.
Raza, unida, vamos a la vida, vamos a la vida, vamos a la vida.
It is a historical fact that Mexico was born out of hardcore corruption and is still one of the most oppressive nations on Earth. Mexico has the greatest concentration of wealth per capita in the world. But Mexico's tiny elite rules over one of the poorest and most oppressed populations on Earth. The corrupt elite of Mexico tell their enslaved population that all of their problems are caused by the United States. Mexico also uses the United States as a steam valve against internal revolution by exporting their angry masses to the North. The Mexican people did not gain freedom with independence from Spain. From 1822 to 1836, Mexico was ruled by more than 10 dictators, calling themselves everything from the Emperor of Mexico to the King of the Americas. In 1 year alone, Mexico had 6 different masters. Completely bankrupt, Mexico could not maintain the few tiny forts and missions that guarded their northern realm. States were in continual rebellion across the collapsing empire. After Texans gained independence by defeating Santa Anna, things quieted down until April 24, 1846, when a Mexican cavalry force of 2,000 launched a sneak attack, wiping out a 63-man U.S. force patrolling the border. Mexican troops continued their assault deeper into U.S. territory for several months until they were turned back by U.S. forces, which then launched a lengthy campaign ending with the capture of Mexico City on September 15, 1847. The historical truth is incontrovertible. The West was won by the United States. England, Russia, Mexico, France all laid claim to the West at one time or another, but none could hold it. Even the native tribes warred with each other for the land. In the 21st century, the architects of the New World Order are using cheap slave goods and oceans of third world migrants to overrun the United States. The irony is staggering when you realize that the same oligarchs that have wrecked the third world are now framing the United States for their crimes and using the rightfully enraged mob as a weapon of conquest. The guest worker amnesty plan being pushed is nothing more than a North American Union standardized ID card that erases all three nations' sovereignties. Spanish-speaking TV, radio, and print is literally on fire with talk of revolution, with many stations bearing the name La Invasora or The Invader. More than 600 billboards were purchased in Los Angeles alone, proclaiming that L.A. is now part of Mexico. If you really think about it, it's perfect for the elite. Americans who don't speak Spanish are unaware of what's going on, so the corporate-controlled revolution can build in semi-secrecy. Most of the media outlets spewing the slogan, Viva la Raza, which translated means Long Live the Race, are owned by New York and London-based companies that are cold-bloodedly pushing the breakup of the United States. We have discovered a national trend where government is demonstrating a clear double standard in their treatment of citizens versus illegal aliens. Citizens are arrested if they don't have insurance or driver's license. Illegals are not. Illegal aliens don't have to have a valid form of identification to set up a bank account or get a car loan, while citizens do. The government also subsidizes the illegals via welfare at taxpayer expense. This is not done to help the illegals, but to subsidize the large corporations that employ them in an ongoing war against the middle class. But selective enforcement got even worse in Seattle, Washington. Tens of thousands of demonstrators took to the streets demanding amnesty for 30 million illegal aliens, despite the fact that many of them were undocumented. They were afforded the First Amendment right to speech and expression. Apparently taking over downtown Seattle, Washington, while waving Mexican flags and screaming La Raza was not enough for them. Of course, in Mexico, most demonstrations are broken up by the parasitic police force firing machine guns into crowds, killing people. But that didn't stop them from demanding the police physically stop an American citizen from engaging in his own silent protest. Josh Moore shot this video on a small still camera while riding his motorcycle and was stuck in traffic for more than an hour due to the protest. The police did not arrest a protester who assaulted the driver through his sunroof as the crowd cheered. Nor did they stop the protesters as they bashed out his window and kneed, punched, and kicked his car in plain view of the police. A plainclothes police officer then gave uniformed police the order to arrest the citizen, who had since complied with the officer's directive to suppress his First Amendment rights. The commanding officer claps and cheers along with the predominantly foreign mob as the citizen is arrested. I wonder if the plainclothes detective knows that siding with foreigners while arresting a citizen for their political speech is treason. The man is clearly not resisting, but the Seattle police are determined to teach him that free speech is only reserved for servants and dupes of the New World Order. They said by the time they took him away, there was a huge pool of blood on the ground. The police slammed his face with full force into the concrete. The officer then grunted with exertion and drove his face forward over the street with sadistic pleasure. The plainclothes officer then allows the protesters to pose with their bleeding trophy, while the man that originally assaulted the American citizen through the sunroof cheers and says, "Now you're bleeding. Now you're bleeding, punk. What's it like, bitch?" We later learned that the Seattle police had filled paddy wagons that day with American citizens who had tried to peacefully picket the event. When the then president of Mexico, Vicente Fox, came to Austin, Texas in 2003, the police did their job and protected free speech, unlike the traitors in Seattle. The leader of the narco-terrorist state was traveling throughout the U.S. and being welcomed at every stop by governors and mayors. Fox was in Austin ostensibly to give an award to the Austin Police Department for breaking federal law and not arresting illegal aliens. Mexican Secret Service attempted to boss the media around, but backed off when they realized that this country still had some freedom.
We can do that if we close all our cameras up. Then we're going to have to take this out.
So what is this? What is this?
He's going to go check. It'd be good if you can angle it that way.
Fox was scheduled to spew his propaganda and meddle in our affairs during a 30-minute press conference outside of the governor's mansion. Governor Perry and Fox were forced to cut their conference short after only 2 minutes because of protesters bullhorning at the gates.
tonight. Good evening to you, and thank you for joining us tonight. I'm Christine Haas.
And I'm Ronald Oliveira. This is KVU News at 10. Mexican President Vicente Fox is now in Austin, arriving at the governor's mansion amid very tight security tonight. KVU's Chris Gutierrez is live at the mansion with tonight's top story. Chris?
Ron, Mr. Fox and Governor Perry addressed the media for about 10 minutes tonight. Now, they plan on talking about issues that affect both Texas and Mexico. Things like education, water resources, expanding trade, and, of course, immigration issues.
We are here because we want to strengthen our relationship, both in political terms, in economic terms. We are here to be close to our paisanos, those Mexicans that diligently, with great passion, work every day to contribute to the better being of the United States, better being of Texas, and better being of Mexico.
Tonight is about renewing old friendships. It's about spending time with our friends. It's about our being together and enjoying a friendship.
We are very enthusiastic about this visit, which we know is going to be very productive because we have many issues on the agenda that we are going to have conversations upon. I am sure it's going to be a great day tomorrow.
Now, that voice you heard yelling in the background during President Fox's speech was that of activist Alex Jones. Jones says he wants Perry to keep Mexican immigrants out of Texas because he thinks they're taking too many American jobs.
We have record immigration, illegal immigration in the history of the world. In the history of the world. We cannot assimilate this many people. And the government is teaching them to be balkanized, whether you're from Russia or China or Mexico, to control us. It's divide and conquer, and it finally destroyed the Roman Empire, and we're following that same path now.
Even after leaving office in 2006, Vicente Fox has toured the United States, calling for amnesty and North American integration.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.